Time with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going on a Tuesday. Love that song to start the program each and every morning. And in it, it says the ever-changing world. It certainly is changing. In front of our very eyes in college athletics, we'll talk more. It's official. Longhorns and Sooners out of the Big 12. What is next? The next steps. We'll get to the details in 39 days. The start of a college football season happening at the same time. A lot to do. Training camps opening all over the NFL as well. Developing news involving Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson and Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. We'll dive in there. Busy night in Major League Baseball. Tokyo Olympics continue. So absolutely jam-packed on a Tuesday. Glad you are with us. 4 hours of fun and conversation begins right now on this Tuesday morning with a lot to talk about, obviously, as we get you rolling. Appreciate you being there, live, local, and digital, however you find us, on 104.9, on 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and of course all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for the great job that you do. It is appreciated. As we say, continue to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Be safe out there. Be careful and hydrate yourself because it's going to be another hot one. There's nothing but sun out there, not many clouds in the skies. Not going to hit that 100-degree mark, which we still haven't only once so far this summer, but it's going to feel like it. It's going to feel like 100. It's going to feel like 110 because the humidity is still kind of hanging around.
It is.
Not as bad as it was before, but it's hot. There's nowhere to hide. There's no clouds to hide anything right now. So it's nasty. So be careful out there.
Absolutely. So big conversations to be had, and had a good time last night out in Leander at our round table, talking to Horn Top 20. A lot of college football chatter last night. It's great to meet a lot of great people who have listened to this show and our station for a long, long time. I don't get out to Leander very often, so that was fun. But because of that round table we had last night that will launch our top 20 teams in college football, which will begin next month, in the month of August, as we count them down from 20 to number one. We do not have our Twitch cameras up and running this morning. So if you're used to watching the show at hornfm.com, we'll take a day hiatus from that because the cameras were used for that last night out in Leander, Texas. So good conversations. A lot of good college football chatter last night. Getting you ready. I think most of us thought Oklahoma number one or two team in the country. Texas, a fringe top 20 team to start the college football season. You know, would you or would you put Texas in your top 20, top 25 to start the season 39 days away? Or do you even have them as a top 20 team?
Yeah, I'd probably put them number 22, 23, somewhere like that.
You know, I think that's about right.
Let them get off to a really, if they can get off to a really nice start, things should be going well. The team that I think will move, depending on their quarterback and their offensive line play, is the Aggies. They got a real good chance with their schedule, who they play, how they play it. You know, they can go undefeated all the way for their first six games, all the way to Alabama. I mean, that's who everybody's trying to beat. So it really doesn't matter whether you're in the SEC or any other place. It's can you beat Alabama? And the Aggies, if they've got the right quarterback and the offensive line can mature, they lost four guys in the offensive line, and if that group matures, boy, they got enough defense. My God, they bring back nine guys on that defense that really he became a stout defense.
Yeah, Mike Elko running that defensive unit. Agreed with the Aggies as far as, you know, the great backfield that they bring. Obviously, they're going to break in a new quarterback in Hayes King. But, the schedule favorable. I mean, the Kent State Golden Flashes for the Aggies. Then
oh, my God.
A trip to Colorado.
Got to play Prairie View in Week 11.
Yeah.
What are they going to do seriously, Prairie View?
Well, that's that.
That stuff got to end.
Well, that's that always fun 12th game that they play in the SEC, and typically happens late in the season. It's kind of that late year bye week.
Well, it really is a bye because then you play LSU, the finale. So it's like having a practice game or letting some of the other players play, you know?
Well, look, and it's part of the problem in college football right now. We talk about the changing landscape of the game and why the SEC is adding Texas and Oklahoma or why they both want to go. You know, the coming off of COVID, we know last year was a season unlike any other. Some teams played in front of no fans, some played in front of fans, but much smaller crowds than usual. But even before the pandemic, college football attendance is an issue. And, you know, don't think it's not. I mean, you talk to college administrators with the rising costs and everything that's happening in college athletics. You know, fans are choosing to stay at home and watch the games on television more than going to stadiums these days. And that was, a problem for the SEC. It's a problem in the Big 12. It's a problem at Texas. Problem at Texas A&M. When you schedule people like Prairie View A&M and you schedule these cream puffs.
Kent State.
People don't want to watch those games. And it's part of, you know, this collaboration of games to put the best teams in the best conferences.
Yeah, it should never happen. Kent State, New Mexico, and Prairie View should not be on your schedule.
No.
If you're Texas. That's three.
I know you play the SEC and you have to play at LSU and you play a host Alabama.
Go play BC or Holy Cross. I mean, go play somebody right. else instead
well, and
of that.
Well, and, you know, fans understand that too. And it's part of the reason the Longhorns administration is looking at the move because, you know, their home schedule, if you're a home season ticket buyer at Texas with the new South End Zone project and all the suites, you know, what games really excite you outside of that one big non-conference game? And Texas needs a more robust home schedule. I think that's fair to say. And games that fans want to travel to. And that's part of this move. And with that in mind, let's start the show with the headlines, trending topics. We'll talk more college football, of course. But let's dive into the news you need to know as you get up and out on this Tuesday morning. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK brings you the news. And yes, indeed, it is official. We're, as expected, Texas and Oklahoma officially notified the Big 12 yesterday that they will not be renewing their grant of rights with the league when those rights expire in 2025. It signals the end of the two flagship programs' affiliation with the conference that they began. Next step for the both schools to formally seek admission to the SEC. Reports that the formal application could come in the next 48 hours from both schools. Presidents of the SEC are scheduled to meet on Thursday, so it is possible a vote on admitting the Longhorns and Sooners to the conference as their 15th and 16th members could come then. More on that, obviously, throughout the morning. Developing news from the NFL. We're on the eve of opening their training camp. It does appear the Green Bay Packers have reached an agreement in their stalemate with their quarterback Aaron Rodgers that will get him into camp and on board with the team in 2021. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the reigning league MVP's contract was adjusted without a loss of income for this year, but does provide the Packers from cap space, and they also have guaranteed that his status with the franchise will be reviewed after the 2021 season. In baseball, very disappointing night for the Houston Astros. They jump out to a 7-0 lead in a series opener in Seattle, only to see the Mariners rally all the way back and stun the Astros 11-8. Dylan Moore's 8th inning grand slam was the big blow there. Rangers had the night off. Round Rock lost in Reno in a slugfest 11-10. Tokyo Olympics, U.S. medal count up to 22 total, 9 gold medals, including the teen sensation Lydia Jacoby last night in the swimming pool. The 17-year-old from Alaska, who is a Texas Longhorn commitment, became the first American woman to strike gold in the pool. She took the 100-meter breaststroke. U.S. also swept gold medals in skeet shooting. American Carissa Moore took the gold in surfing. And a major upset on the tennis court where the third-round match, Naomi Osaka, upset in her third-round match. She is out in Tokyo.
Stop putting off LASIK. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK is now offering LASIK starting at $4.95 per eye and guaranteed financing approval. Call 512-596-2020 or go online to schedule your free consultation today. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, official LASIK provider of Austin FC.
You know, when you continue to look at Texas A&M and their schedule this year, now I understand why their athletic director said, we'll be waiting for Texas. We're going to make sure that that guy, if he looked at his schedule, he understands this is one of those opportunities. As Texas A&M played really well last year, this is their opportunity now. If you got these three teams on your schedule and you're not really playing anybody until game 2, 4, 6, and that's Alabama, what a schedule for them to slide through in the SEC. I mean, I know you got LSU at the end, but you got Auburn, Ole Miss, South Carolina, who's got a new coach at Mississippi, and you got Prairie View. Ugh, yuck. That is a terrible home schedule for Texas A&M, but it's a winning schedule. It's a schedule they really can win, especially with 9 guys in that defense. And if it's, once again, it'll all be about the quarterback play and the offensive line play, but and they got one of the best running backs, not just in their conference, but in the country, in Spiller, yeah, coming back there. And with all these guys getting back to come back another year, you're talking about young. This is like a sophomore-laden, junior-laden football team.
It is, and it's, you know, where Jimbo Fisher really, I think, pushes the accelerator in year four.
Absolutely.
After the success of year three, where they flirted with the playoff and nearly got in with a solid season. And, you know, that home schedule, I don't know if I'd call it terrible. There's three really bad games and three really good games, if I'm A&M. I mean, the Kent State game, the Golden Flashes will come down here from Northeast Ohio and melt on September the 4th.
Oh, my God, I forgot about them. That's right.
Then they'll play New Mexico, and they play that Prairie View game. But, you know, when you're playing home games with Alabama, Auburn and South Carolina, you feel pretty good about that, and you got to go.
Not
to
so much South Carolina.
Well, I mean that's
in your country. You got to play them anyway.
Yeah, that's the team that they play across conference every year, at least currently. And now we'll see how the new, because
new coach at South Carolina, new coach at Auburn,
and Brian Harsin, very familiar.
That's right.
Name and face to Texas fans. He takes over at Auburn in the changing face of the SEC.
Yeah, the Aggies have to get after this schedule. This is one of those schedules they have to, with two brand new coaches.
Well, in Alabama at home.
Yeah, this is the one.
Yeah, this would be your opportunity for Texas, or at least the first one in the Jimbo Fisher era. Where you really feel like there's some momentum.
There's no doubt.
In that program. But, you know, big picture, obviously Texas and Oklahoma made it official yesterday, as we all expected. They have formally signaled their end of the Big 12. And now the question is, how does the Big 12 react? I mean, those are the unknowns that we talked about yesterday. Once you push the button, which Texas and Oklahoma did yesterday, signaling the end with their letter to the conference, I think it's fair to say that Texas and Oklahoma's hope, because they're going to say all the right things now, Buck. I mean, everything you're going to hear is, you know, we're in this through 2025 if that's what needs to happen. We'll play as a Big 12 team through 2025 in the end of the current deal. But, the hope is that the conference dissolves, essentially, and the conference moves on and everybody seeks cover and tries to find what's best for them. You know, instead of, you know, the eight remaining teams uniting and trying to force the hand of Texas and Oklahoma, the Longhorn and Sooners' hope would be that this thing dissolves, and by next year, Texas and Oklahoma could be playing in the SEC because everyone seeks elsewhere. There's thought that the Pac-12, you know, that if certain members of the Big 12, the remaining Big 12 were to reach out to the Pac-12, that there would be interest there. The Pac-12 would love to be in the Texas market. Texas Tech and TCU would be names you would consider as potential in that spot. You know, Kansas with the Big Ten, West Virginia with the ACC, and obviously that would be the hope, Buck, that the remaining eight teams just say, you know what, this thing is in the rearview mirror. Let's go find what's best for us.
Yeah, there's only a couple of ways it can go. It can go to resolve itself by everybody dissolving. Just, okay, we're going this way. We got to go do what we have to do. Or do they gather enough momentum to get a couple teams into this conference? I don't think it'll work that way. I think most of them will be out of here. Like West Virginia understands where they could go. They've got some good regional stuff. And, of course, I mean, there's going to be some that will be left out, but that's just the way life goes. And Texas and Oklahoma can sit back and watch it. And it's not going to take 4 years to dissolve, obviously. It'll dissolve after 1 year. 1 year of playing, by the second year, people have to go someplace, or they gather people to come in with them. So it's one or two ways, really, and then that's it.
Right. Well, and if, you know, if Bob Bowlesby was able to unite the eight and they were able to rally some other schools, and there's, you know, a team like the University of Houston – there's talking, you know, SMU, Houston, go back and get back engaged with BYU, you know, Central Florida, some of the Cincinnati, the schools you heard when the Big 12.
Well, either way, they still can say goodbye to you after.
Yeah, but the problem would be, for me, if that happens and the Big 12 unites and rallies, well, then Texas and Oklahoma are going to owe the conference $80 to $100 million.
That's the price you pay for leaving.
That's the price you pay for leaving. That's exactly right.
Right. That's not their fault.
Well, I'm not blaming. I'm just saying that's what you would hope. Texas and Oklahoma hopes it dissolves.
Correct.
So that the whole thing is just null and void and, you know, everybody moves on to their new spot. But if the Big 12 rallies and adds,
I would think they would try to rally first, obviously, right?
Well, that's what you don't know. I mean, each of the eight universities are going to do what's best for them. Is Kansas in a new look Big 12 better off? Or are they better actually trying to explore a Big Ten opportunity, if there were one? West Virginia, are they better in a new-look Big 12, or maybe looking at the ACC and trying to jump into there?
You play Pittsburgh, you got Virginia Tech. Why aren't you playing in that region?
That's right.
Where you are?
That's right. And it's, you know, you have to kick the tires on, is there opportunity? And I think with this, you know, first bombshell of Texas and Oklahoma moving and shifting out of the Big 12, that puts everybody on alert. Okay, what's my best interest? Where am I best going to land? Is it in a...
I know if I'm offered by a place like Cincinnati, who's ranked in the top 10, and they've been playing really good football over the last couple of years, I would try to come into this conference. If if Texas and Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, I think Cincinnati would at least be interested.
Sure.
But the problem would be, you know, again, well, what about? I mean, what are the biggest brands left in the Big 12? It's Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. West Virginia is a big state school in an interesting region of the country.
We're just talking about survival for them.
That's exactly right. And are they better in a rebuilt but lessened Big 12, they being the remaining eight, and then individually within those eight, or are they better finding a new spot? And that's where the unknowns are. And each school is going to have to look at the numbers and talk about what the options are. But the point being, with the
and
first...
And roll the TVs. You're going to have to talk to TV. You're going to have to say, what are you guys willing to do for us?
Correct.
That we can survive. Can we still make just at least the same money we made? But, you know, you're not going to make the same money without Oklahoma and Texas.
That's
it's just
exactly
not going
right.
to be that way.
And even in a retooled Big 12. And
right.
that's why the conversations in the emergency meeting on Sunday were, hey, look, to keep Texas and Oklahoma in, we'll give you a share and a half. We will give you two schools a lot more.
Yeah, well,
so to keep this conference intact as it is, but
that talk is all gone. They're not coming.
Correct.
Nothing's happening. That's now. What do you do? You know, that's you can leave that out and just say goodbye to those two. How do you? I think you probably try to work to bring somebody in first. I think they get together and have a meeting and say, well, here's who's interested. Here's what we have to do with TV rights. Here's what we're going to be able to make even without Texas and Oklahoma. Can we survive with that? Is that survivable that we still will have a conference? I would think they'd look to that first before they start running and whatever. But they're going to be, like you said, they're going to be doing what's best for each individual university now. Or they do come together and talk about it.
Yeah, I think they start with what's best for me.
Yes.
And
they'll do the same thing that Oklahoma and Texas
have done. And if there's a better option out there, because I think there are going to be better options for some of those schools other than a rebuilt Big 12. Because, you know, I do think the Pac-12 will be interested in a couple of the Big 12 schools, which is interesting to me. You know, the Pac-12.
That's weird. We're going to run back to the guys are going to run to the Pac-12 instead of them running this way. All of a sudden, they play football in the Pac-12 again. They played four games last year.
Well, look, if you're a Texas Tech, right? I mean, if you're a Texas Tech and now your flagship university of your state's leaving, and now Texas A&M and Texas Tech, your two former rivals are now playing in the Southeastern Conference, and you're not. You know, what's your natural next best step to your future, right? Is it, I mean, you could argue that Texas Tech, along with TCU and the Pac-12 conference, because look, everything's shifting towards these 16-team super conferences.
Yeah, no matter what you think, it's still shifting that way. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you can.
And you want to land in one of those.
Yeah, you want to do and kind of think you're loyal to certain parts of the Big 12, but you got to land in where the big time and able to get to a national championship, or at least play in it, depending on how many teams and
well,
all that stuff.
Because I believe the Big 12 was dying and now is officially dissolving. But in the end, it's going to end up with four 16-team conferences. The ACC will end up, you know, this move with Oklahoma and Texas gets the SEC to 16.
But can the Big 12, without Oklahoma and Texas, can they get enough teams in here that TV and everybody else says, no, you are a conference. Yes, Big 12, you are a conference.
Well, that's the one saving grace for the Big 12 on the other side of the argument is that they did save their Power 5 status. They still own that. But what does that actually mean? And that's where I'm saying that...
It all depends on money.
Well, sure. But if there's... I mean, do the math. If there's four 16-team leagues...
Mm-hmm.
The Pac-12 has to get to 16. The Big Ten has to get to 16 from 14, and the ACC has to get to 16. That's where these Big 12 schools that are left have to decide where's best. Is that the best in the best interest of TCU and Texas Tech to consider if there were an opportunity to play in the Pac-12 and play in an eastern region of the Pac-12 where
what if Iowa State becomes a big player and says, no, we're staying in the Big 12. We want you to join us. What if Matt Campbell, you know, all these nice things we've said about Matt Campbell and how he's going to build his program, and he loves Iowa State. You think that guy's pissed that he didn't even take the Lions job knowing that Oklahoma and Texas walked out of here? Do you think he's like...
Well, I think Matt Campbell's one more year at Iowa State and then gone, but you know, I thought that at Big 12 Media Days. But either way, Iowa State's never going to be a heavy player on the college football market. They're a good team this year, but big picture, their program, what they bring to the table is not a lot. So they're going to be grasping to try to find
the... But they could to the Big 12 if that stayed together. And he said, I'm staying here. Let's grab a couple teams. And then the other places said, yeah, we'll join in.
I guess what I'm saying is if you agree that we're moving to four 16-team conferences,
yes.
The Big 12 is not one of them. It's the ACC, it's the Big 12, or the Pac-12, the Big 10, and the SEC. Those are your four.
TV regions?
That's it. Those are your four. which means, yeah, the Big 12 may exist like Conference USA or the American Athletic Conference, but in the end, it's not one of the four premier conferences.
No, they want to be and part of that.
So that's where I think a Texas Tech's going to want to land. They're going to want to land, and, you know, can Iowa State find one? Can Iowa State land in one of those 16-team conferences? Those are going to be the questions for each of the remaining eight schools, and that's going to be the first choice before trying to cobble together something and keep the Big 12 alive. Because in the end, if it's four 16-team super conferences, the Big 12 is not one of those. And you want to be in one of the 16 teams. And that's where, you know, again, Texas Tech and TCU. If they're in the eastern wing of the Pac-12, you have Colorado, you have the Arizona schools, and those are the main schools you're playing. Those are your chief rivals in that conference. And then obviously you make trips to the West Coast to play the USCs, the UCLAs, the Stanfords, the Oregons of the world on occasion. But in the end, you're pretty much playing in the central time zone and the western time zone, the mountain time zone, in that spot. That's an option, and I do think for Kansas and West Virginia, the Big Ten and the ACC make a lot of sense, but we'll all see how this plays out now that the official first button has been pushed on this with Texas and Oklahoma making the move.
I'm pretty sure that Matt Campbell would have wished he'd taken that Lions job if he knew that this stuff was going on.
It's
$70 million. Yeah, you don't.
Well, I think if this team at Iowa State plays to expectation this year, and I think they will, he'll be able to name his job next year. And he'll have another opportunity, and it won't be with the Detroit Lions. He'll have NFL opportunities, and he'll have major college opportunities next season. And it just feels like this group coming back together for one more run. You know, Matt Campbell may stick at Iowa State, but I still think the loyalty is a great thing. But I think he's promised guys like Brock Purdy and Charlie Kolar and that group that, look, let's see if we can do something really special at Iowa State. And this is the final year for that, because after this season, they're all gone. And it's a rebuild at Iowa State. And I would suspect that Matt Campbell will be somewhere else after next season. Could be wrong, but that would be my guess. But I would say, to your point of Matt Campbell, is he disappointed? I think Matt Campbell is excited about what this year can be for that team. And then beyond that, the future will be probably something else.
Yeah, ifs and buts, and $70 million, if that were true, is hard to.
But there'll be another $70 million out there. They may not have this group.
Really?
Right, this group. Oh, for Matt, if he were to compete and win the Big 12 this year, you don't think Matt Campbell could name his job?
If he played in the championship,
Matt Campbell can still pretty much, you know, Jim Harbaugh's still on thin ice at Michigan. There's going to be other NFL opportunities. Matt Campbell is still a very, very hot commodity in the coaching market. He's turned down NFL jobs each of the last two off seasons. If they have a really, really strong season, which most anticipate, I find it hard to believe Matt Campbell wouldn't have, if he does want to get out of Iowa State in the dissolving Big 12, I think he'll have, his choice.
I got to believe that the talk of, how long do you rebuild? He's been there long enough. It's not, okay, now I'm going to rebuild after a rebuild. No, when it's time to go, you probably have to go, and this year would be the year if it doesn't happen, or if it does happen, either way.
Yeah,
actually,
I guess it'd be a very good team at Iowa State, and Matt Campbell's a tremendous coach.
Yeah, and he'd end up in the Big Ten anyway.
Yeah, possibly. But Michigan.
Well,
if James Franklin continues to scuffle at Penn State,
even his team, even that program, will
for sure.
They got to go somewhere. They got to go play with the Big Ten, with Iowa and everybody else. Yeah. That's a big game for them, too. So
that's a conference.
That fits them more than anything.
What, the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Well, that would be my question. Would the Big Ten be interested in Iowa State? And it would make natural sense for Iowa State to be in the same, but, the Big Ten.
I would think if they felt that dude was sticking around to play in that conference, yes.
Yeah, but you're not going to base a long-term decision like that on one football coach. That would be my guess.
You're basing it that he's going to make all kinds of crazy money.
Of course, because he's turned it down each of the last two off seasons, and he's one of the hottest commodities on the coaching market, is he not?
I would say, yeah, he was in the top two or three. Yeah, he would
correct.
Be.
But again, if you're the Big Ten, you're not going to base an invitation to Iowa State to join your conference on Matt Campbell. It's got to be a program worthy of, some would say Rutgers. Is Rutgers worthy? But Rutgers was to get the New York market.
Maryland.
Into the New York market.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I forgot TV rights and everything else. They don't need the Iowa market, I wouldn't think. You're right.
The Iowa market.
Yeah.
The corn. Bring the
corn.
That
market, yes, that market.
Yeah, Nebraska. In Iowa, in Iowa State, in the farmland. All right, we'll take your thoughts. Texas and Oklahoma, what happens next? What happens for your favorite school as well? And how does Texas play this thing out? We'll talk more about it with you. Also, Craig Way has an Olympic update. We've got your B&E Fact of the Day. We roll on a Tuesday. We are live, we are local, we are digital. We're talking college football 39 days to the start of the college football season and maybe 48 hours until the Longhorns and Oklahoma receive an official invite to the Southeastern Conference. Formally, we'll get you details next here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the horn. It is a busy Tuesday. Texas and Oklahoma made it official yesterday. Now, the official application for joining the SEC will be the next step for the Longhorns and the Sooners. And it is interesting that the SEC presidents are scheduled to meet as a 14-member group on Thursday. So the next 48 hours will be interesting if the formal application is presented. That could be voted on Thursday, which will really fast-track this conversation, which speaks to what we were just talking about, Buck, of how the Big 12, the rest of the Big 12 goes now, how this plays out, timelines that are in play and possible, because most that I was texting with yesterday, close to the situation, believe, you know, the Longhorns and the Sooners wouldn't have done this if they didn't think they had a way to negotiate out of the current granting of rights, even though everything they say is going to be, you know, we're a member in good standing through 2025. You wouldn't be doing this and moving this quickly if there wasn't a plan in place or at least an idea of what it's going to take to be playing in the SEC by next year.
Well, yeah, you're going to pay your way in. Still, you're going to have to pay if that's the case.
And a negotiated settlement.
And when is money a problem at Texas? Never.
Right, and there's more money to come from the SEC. And,
correct.
And that's, you know, when you take this step, when you file for
And you do a contract, yeah, you got to pay if you're going to leave early.
That's correct. How early are you actually leaving? And that's what we're talking about. If the Big 12 dissolves, you know, those contracts are then null and void because there is no contract with ESPN and the TV partners, the granting of rights, if the conference doesn't exist.
Well, and you're hoping it doesn't exist after 1 year. You play one more year. It's not like they're going to the SEC. Yeah,
they'll all play this year, and they'll play actually this entire calendar year in all sports in 2021-22.
Then they just sit back and watch.
Then you sit back and watch and where everybody lands. It'll be interesting to follow, but the next 48 hours will be of interest. Meanwhile, Steve Sarkisian has 39 days to get his team ready for the college football season. They'll begin their workouts next week. With Texas football practice coming online.
Hate to say the heat is up on him. I hate to feel that way about a head coach in year number one, but there's more heat on him. There's not a lot of heat on him, but there's some heat on him to see how he does in year number one here. And then because I believe they'll be out after this year, really. So they'll be back. They'll be playing an SEC schedule. I don't know how that works for home and home against Alabama. What does that do for Texas and OU? Will those games not be in the Cotton Bowl? Will they start playing home and home games? There's a lot that's up in the air when all this happens, and it'll happen fast. And they're probably sitting there thinking about how you schedule all this already, even before it actually. Obviously, you have to do that before it happens. But Texas be playing Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl? Or are we going home and home? How does that work out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the long-term thought. My best guess on that, I mean, the SEC, if they officially invite Texas and Oklahoma, which is anticipated on Thursday or pretty soon after that, I mean, I assume it'll be four team divisions of the SEC. You'll have Northeast, South, and West. And, you know, Texas would be in a four-team division of the SEC with Arkansas, Oklahoma, and A&M.
You're bringing your cousins, the Sooners, into your town, into Austin?
I don't know why you couldn't still play in Dallas. I mean,
home and home. Well, bring the Sooners on the streets of Austin would be unbelievable.
Well, I think the fans would revolt at that. I think the tradition of the Cotton Bowl is.
Did you say tradition? Did you say tradition?
Well, I think
traditions.
Look, I mean, just because the Longhorns are making what I think is a bold and visionary long term decision, it doesn't mean they don't still honor traditions. And the fact that they're going to rekindle rivalries with Texas A&M and Arkansas. Harkens you back to old traditions.
But you're also making changes, so let's go home and home.
Okay, but I mean, I think that'll be on the table, but I guess why, though, would be my question. Just because you're playing the SEC now, why would you need to change that?
But why not? I mean, it's been talked about before.
Sure, and it's always been poo-pooed before.
Yes, it has.
Always, for those reasons. But I don't know the, because again, we have a brand new leadership structure at Texas. I mean, what is their thought? Well, I know what the previous regimes thought about playing that game home and home.
They didn't like it.
No, they loved the tradition of the Cotton Bowl and the rivalry and, you know, the Red River game and all that comes with that in Dallas every, you know, second weekend of October. But then, you know, just because you're playing in the SEC doesn't mean that still can't be a neutral site game. Georgia plays Florida in the cocktail party every year as a conference game. That hasn't changed and won't. You can still play a home and home, or you can still play a neutral site game, because now you're going to have at least, look, if you're playing in a 4-team division of the SEC, you know, the Oklahoma game's neutral site, but either A&M or Arkansas is going to be a home game every year now.
Mm-hmm.
That'll rotate. And then the way you would, you know, best, you know, speculate the scheduling would go, you'd play those three teams in your division each year on a home-and-home basis, neutral site with Oklahoma, and then you'd play two teams from each of the other four divisions, 2-2-2, which gets you to your conference schedule. So, you know, of the other four-team groups, you'd play two teams out of those, you know, north, south, and east each and every year on a rotating basis, which gives you, you know, one road, one home on the 2-2-2. Well, now all of a sudden you have a home schedule that features an Arkansas, maybe a Georgia, maybe an Alabama, maybe a Missouri, who knows? But you have better home games if you're Texas.
And Jerry Jones is going to put his foot in there, of course. I know you're talking about traditions because Jerry's not going to stand by and say, well, if Arkansas and A&M are playing in his world, believe me, he's going to ask for Texas A&M to be played at his world.
The Texas A&M game needs to be home and home. When that is rekindled and forced back onto the football field because the powers that be could never make it happen when the A&M left for 10 years, that needs to be home and home. That needs to be at College Station. That needs to be in Austin.
More so than the Oklahoma game.
For sure. And Jerry Jones involved. Look, the minute they wanted to move the Cotton Bowl or the Red River Rivalry game to Jerry Jones Stadium, I just as soon take it home and home then. I mean, if it's not in the Cotton Bowl, if it's not a fair park, if it's not the state fair, if it's not all of that,
mm-hmm.
then I would agree with you. I would consider that. Let's take it home and home.
But you know Jerry's going to put his hand in that A&M Texas game because Texas A&M, they play Arkansas, right? They play them.
And have at Jerry Jones Stadium.
And it hadn't been like that for 20 years. I mean, that's just, or whatever. That's been since they've joined the league, right?
Yes.
Did they play that game there? Okay.
But I mean, again, I think Texas is doing this for big picture thoughts. And to your point about Steve Sarkisian and the pressure being up on him, the next time we get to talk to Sark, I mean, he's going to be asked, did he know about this? And I have to think he did. When they recruited Steve Sarkisian to be the coach, I'm assuming he was informed of this idea of moving to the Southeastern Conference. I have to believe
that. They've been talking for 6 months, yeah.
Well, they've been talking for a year. I mean,
I don't know how long. I don't know how. I'm not going to even speculate how long they've been talking.
Well, I mean,
who knows or whatever.
I mean, the reports are the new Oklahoma president talked to Jay Hartzell a year ago because Oklahoma's tried to move to the SEC before and the Pac-12 in the past and were told, you know, not without Texas, that if you're going to move, you're coming with Texas, and Texas was not on board. Well, the thing that changed in the last calendar year with the new leadership at Texas and Kevin L. Teif at Board of Regents and President Hartzell, they've had a change of heart. And now, for the last year, they've been in discussions. And, of course, 6 months ago, it really heated up. Let's talk about this move to the SEC. So I have to believe Steve Sarkisian was at least aware of these conversations. So you know, I don't think when this news broke.
He wasn't going to take the job because he's going to go to the SEC?
Right, no. That he was surprised by it. I guess my point would be that he wasn't surprised
by it. And he was going to say no because you're going to the – probably not. He's probably going to take that job no matter what.
Correct, but yeah. I'm assuming it was part of the enticement of taking it, that the opportunity to join Texas in a conference that, you know, now that you're moving into the biggest conference and the premier conference of college football, potentially, that helps with recruiting, that helps, you know, playing the biggest games on the biggest stages and the biggest opportunities. I have to think that was seen as a bit of excitement for Steve Sarkisian, big picture, and I don't think he was surprised by the news of last week.
I don't know. Like I said, there's a lot of speculation in all different parts. You know, somebody knew 6 months, somebody knew a year. With the head coach, no. I mean, if you want that guy, yeah. And if you know that, you've got to tell him.
And that's why I'm saying
you can't keep that. Well, you can't. You can. I mean, they can keep things a secret from an entire university.
Sure.
A&M, allegedly.
But that's why I say the next time we get to talk to Stark, someone will ask him that question. I don't know how he'll answer it, but I'm assuming he was made aware of these conversations way, way back. And look, because a lot of people kept this very quiet for a long time, but at the same time, when you're in the process and hiring Steve Sarkisian, if these conversations are being had, I believe that would be part of the conversation, and he was aware of it. So to the pressure raising, I think he knew what he was getting into when he took the gig, and that's a good thing.
He knew what he was getting into when he just came to the Big 12 alone.
For sure.
For this team, yes.
And for the University of Texas.
Right.
So 39 days for the Longhorns opener with Louisiana.
I have to say this. See, you talking about hitting it on the nose, the deal with Aaron Rodgers, you've been talking about that for months, that's how that was going to play out. I said he's going back to camp, and he's always going to be a Packer. But you were right. He's going back to camp for 1 year, and he's not going to be a Packer after that. He's bought his way in there, and the Green Bay Packers have saved their own asses at least for 1 year. And then he can wait a whole year and say, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. And either he can re-sign with them or he can go elsewhere. And so it works out for the Packers either way. He was going to be gone, and you were right. He's going to be gone either after next year or he's going to stay after next year. But they're going to get a year out of him.
And one more run. And, you know, it's funny. When I was gone last week, I don't know if you guys talked about that he and Devontae Adams both on Instagram posted the Scottie Pippen picture, the last dance.
So Scottie, what did that Pippen mean? What did it mean, though?
This is the last dance. I mean, this is, remember earlier this offseason, Aaron Rodgers compared the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, to Jerry Krause. You know, essentially that he's torpedoing this thing. And so that they're, I mean, it's laughable that Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams would compare themselves to Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. They've not won a championship.
I wouldn't hook up my wagon with Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
he's going to go off and say, bye, Devontae.
The Last Dance was about a dynasty that won six championships together, six of eight, and maybe eight in a row if Jordan doesn't go to play baseball. This group has not won a championship.
This guy won't run it in from the five.
This
what
group
are you talking
not
about?
Won a
this
Super
won't
Bowl.
Run it in.
So last dance of what? Last dance of conference runner-up? I guess, but obviously that's the comparison that, you know, Devontae Adams is going into the final year of his contract. Aaron Rodgers has now negotiated a way out of Green Bay after this season. So, you know, trying to play themselves as the last dance run for Green Bay. So it will add some intrigue, but yes, as we both expected, Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of the Packers this year. They're not going to trade him now.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, he'll at least in his own mind control a little bit of his fate after this season.
That he loves that part.
Sure he does. And you know, that's they'll review his situation after this season and what does this season bring. But I find it funny that they would compare themselves to a six-time NBA dynasty, championship NBA dynasty, when, you know, Aaron Rodgers hadn't won a championship in a decade, or a Super Bowl championship, that is. And certainly Devontae Adams has not won one or played in a Super Bowl. But here we go, the last dance for the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk more about
still
that.
Still pretty good damn quarterback.
But
I just, as you look around the league, I mean, somebody will fall, somebody will drop out, some quarterback will retire, you know. I'm just trying to figure out this whole Denver thing with him. Are they waiting? Does he that guy doesn't automatically give you a championship at a place like Denver. I mean,
it makes you a contender, but yeah, still got to beat Patrick Mahomes, and you still got to beat the big teams of the NFC.
There's games that you have to win.
We'll talk more about that Aaron Rodgers story. Also, the developing situation with Deshaun Watson and why the NFL hasn't stepped in to help out the Texans here in this awkward situation by putting him on paid leave. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, more on the Longhorns' move to the SEC. All the things you need to know here on B&E, live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, terrible news from Tokyo. Breaking news from Tokyo. A little breaking news, Isaiah Cogger, a little breaking news. And it's not good. Disappointing to read that reigning Olympic gymnast champion Simone Biles is out of the team finals at Tokyo 2021 after apparently suffering an injury during the vault. Leg injury for Simone Biles, bud.
Yeah, she's done.
Unfortunate.
So far, this has been a tough watch. It really has.
The Olympics.
It's, you know, 7,000 hours of, you know, because they didn't have it last year, and NBC needs to really, you know, they need to show stuff. I mean, I'm watching stuff that I have never seen in the Olympics. I knew it existed, but you never saw it on TV. It was mainly summer games, track and field, swimming, and stuff like that, gymnastics. But you really never saw these. I mean, I watched ping pong. Now, I'm not saying I don't like ping pong, especially when China's playing Japan. I mean, that thing was, but when you got no fans in the stands, that thing would have been like out of this world if there would have been, you know, in Japan, if they would have had fans, and Japan is playing China in ping pong, I mean, it's semi a hard watch, but there are some sports that people kind of dig that they're getting a chance to watch.
Swimming's always compelling, and it was cool to see the 17-year-old Alaskan last night, the young girl, Lydia Jacoby, win gold in a huge surprise. She's a University of Texas commitment, by the way, coming to swim at Texas when she's finished with high school. Yeah, there's going to be great stories, but yeah, so far it's not been the best watch as far as TV eyeballs go.
Women's softball.
And now Simone Biles is out. I mean, that's a big deal. She was one of the big draws, and she won't be in the team competition.
Kat Osterman will be playing for gold.
Yeah, Kat Osterman and Team USA on the softball side of things. There'll still be good stories, but, you know, what was I watching yesterday? I was debating in my own head driving out to Leander yesterday. What is the toughest Olympic sport? What's the most difficult sport?
I mean, decathlon is pretty hard.
Yeah, I would think decathlon.
And
they're all challenging.
The winter deal, is that deal where you ski and then you got to shoot a gun when your heart rate is just going?
And that's the winter, yeah.
Yeah, when you're
the biathlon.
When you got to kneel, lay down on in the snow and shoot.
You know, with your heart racing, right? I mean, because one gun. That's such an odd sport.
That is an odd sport, but that's a difficult one, I would think.
Well, because I heard Brad Kellner say yesterday when we were out at our Horn Top 20 roundtable, he claims water polo, and that is a...
He's just afraid of drowning, that's all.
Dude, water polo, though...
that's what he's afraid of. If a guy pulls your shorts down or pulls you down, and they're strong. I mean, you got to be pretty physical up top.
Well, you never touch the... I mean, you're treading water the entire time.
Yes.
Basically wrestling with other giant people. It is...
Those aren't little dudes.
No.
And they're built. They're kind of well-built.
Unbelievably well-built. I mean, these guys... you know, they train like treading water with like 20-pound weights and 50-pound weights in their hands trying to keep themselves up. And that is a tough one. So water polo, I mean, I put gymnastics as far as difficulty level pretty high on the list. Decathlon, you said it, with 10 different events is as tough as it gets. And so we'll take your thought on the toughest Olympic sport.
I wouldn't be real excited. And when you were a kid, you thought you could do it. That whole pole vaulting thing of running down there and sticking a pole and going over the top. I have these thoughts of not hitting the pit all the time. You know what I mean? Oh no, I've missed the pit.
You can make a day out of pole vaulting blooper videos. The pole vaulting gone bad. We've seen guys and people impale themselves on the pole. That's never good.
No,
never good.
That's another one. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean all the track and fields, man. Because there's things that defy nature, the ability to jump that far.
Or the poor countries, when you get in a pool and you're going against these great swimmers and you get lapped by some dude.
Well, you know.
It is what, hey,
it
is you're the best in your country.
Yeah, best where you grew from.
That's wherever you're from.
But you're getting lapped by the
lapped
dude from Germany.
Lapped in the pool?
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that's breaking news. That's not good. Reigning Olympic gymnast champion Simone Biles out for the team finals. Tokyo 2020, leg injury for Simone. That's
I'm not really down with cycling and going around the velodrome, you know what I mean? That's not going to keep me at the TV. But you're going to see a bunch of them. Like I said, 7,000 hours they got to do.
Yeah, and they're all over. I have DirecTV, so I can put it on channel 205, and I get like five screens of Olympics.
Oh, my God. I know Tirico's losing his mind.
Everything that's going on. And obviously, there's the time difference. That's always a challenge when the games are on the other side of the world because things are happening in real time that, you know, happen overnight and you're not watching them live in most cases. So you're watching things on delay. You already know the result in a immediate information world that we live in. So we'll keep an eye on that. But Simone Biles out. We did have the young lady that's coming to Texas win a gold medal last night. Hey, USA.
7 a, and 7 a.m. this morning is when I think the ladies play for the gold.
Yeah.
In softball,
yeah, with Kat Osterman and crew. So we'll keep you posted on that as we move forward. USA basketball, you know, they've got to beat, what is it, Nigeria?
No, Iran? They don't want to play Nigeria.
They play Iran?
Yeah, they want to play, yes.
Iran, that's their next game, Iran.
They want to play North Korea in basketball. That's who
USA.
They want to play.
That's who they need to play. That is. We're talking college football. We're talking Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. We'll get into that story with I'm really puzzled. Maybe it's because the NFL is not going to suspend Deshaun Watson until actual games. And really, but now this is just training camp, so it's really between he and the team. I don't know, but Deshaun Watson is showing up for camp because he doesn't want to get fined $50,000 a day. He's already, you know, probably spending that in legal bills on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, and two women have now come forward. See, now the women are now coming.
Well, 10 have actually filed complaints with authorities.
Now, two more have actually now giving depositions. He can't give a deposition, E, until
2022.
Yeah.
After the Super Bowl. And that's just the timeline of how the court proceedings are going to play forward. And that's where, you know, we're watching this in Major League Baseball, where Major League Baseball stepped in and suspended Trevor Bauer, right?
Yes.
Which you know, the Dodgers were having to make decisions of, do we let him pitch or do we not let him pitch? What do we do? He's been charged with this, and this woman is alleging this. Well, Deshaun's got all these allegations. The Texans would be helped out a lot by the NFL coming in and suspending him and putting him on the commissioner's exemplar, but that doesn't, and that leads to this awkward situation.
Well, it's awkward. Does he walk in our huddle first? No.
Well, yeah.
I
know. That's what I'm saying, and that's where it helped the Dodgers when Major League Baseball stepped in and suspended Trevor Bauer for the Dodgers, so they didn't have to mess with it.
But stepping in your huddle means he wants to be there with you also, but
he
doesn't.
He just doesn't want to be fined.
Oh, no, he needs the money. 50 grand, he's not going to get fined. You're right.
It's $50,000 a day that he misses. And again, he's paying that in legal fees, I would imagine, on a daily basis or weekly basis. And he's already lost like $10 million in endorsement deals. So Deshaun's like, well, I'm not losing more money. And the Texans are like, well, we don't really want you here. But
nope.
Yeah, that is sticky. And we'll take your thoughts to get the latest on why the NFL hasn't stepped in and helped the Texans out in that regard. We'll talk about it. Aaron Rodgers has resolution, it appears. And the Texas Longhorns are bound for the SEC. We'll get you details. Coming next, live, local, and digital, always streaming on your Horn app and always at hornfm.com.